I'll be reading from the King James. Revised Standard will be on the screen. The passage is Mark 2:23-3:6 on page 34-35 in the Pew Bible. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went to the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth, and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It is our tradition at Burns to stand for the gospel, if you are comfortable doing so. Our gospel lesson this morning, Luke 6, beginning with verse 41. Listen to what Jesus is saying to us. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your neighbor, Friend, let me take out the speck in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I don't want to mention any names, but Rich Schneer and I were working on sprinklers last week. Finally getting around to it. We're, you know, Johnny on the spot early and get ahead of things there. But I was surprised. I said, you know, Rich, when they first turn on the water, there's a certain smell. Don't you love that? So, and he says, I know what you're talking about. First time I've ever heard anybody else that besides me that has noticed that. Isn't that, what is that smell? Isn't that wonderful? I want to bottle that. Springtime or summer, that wonderful smell. But you see, you have to understand something else. I have this long history with water. I mean, we all have some history with water, but I mean, when I was little, first grade-ish, maybe a little bit before first grade-ish, there were some words that I knew more than any words in the vocabulary, and they went like this. They went, don't get wet. Now, I lived in a little town on the western slope named Parachute. It was named Grand Valley when we lived there. And after we moved, they changed the name so we couldn't come back. But our house, you went down the gravel road, turned off the gravel road onto another gravel road, turned down that gravel road, went down the gravel lane, and then turned into our gravel driveway. So we were out in the country and surrounded by hay fields. And of course, this is Colorado, western Colorado, high desert. So there were lots of irrigation ditches. Now you get the gist of why the rule was don't get wet. Didn't matter what I was doing, I would manage to find it. And that was the most fun thing to do. Had a little brother, I still have a little brother. He's taller than me now. But at that point, if I was 4, he would have been 2. Maybe I was 5 and he was 3. You do the math. I can get there. But it was a summer day, and we did what we like to do best. We went up and found the big irrigation ditch. And you find a little stick that would become your boat. And we'd throw them in and race to see whose boat went furthest fastest. And we'd have little sticks to guide them and sticks to push them, and we'd follow them. It was a good play. It was lots of fun. Except that the water was very near, and you had to be very careful. And the rule, remember the rule? Don't get wet. We were playing along, doing fine, and somehow my brother was ahead of me. So he was that way, and I was trying to get my boat gumming, and I don't remember seeing it, but I remember hearing him going in. Kersplash, a big ploosh. And then a loud exclamation. I don't remember what he shouted, but it was pretty clear. He didn't just dip his foot in and get wet. He went in nose to tail. He was in the ditch, and it was a fairly significant ditch. I mean, it wasn't a canal or anything, but it was a big enough ditch that he went in and he popped up, and the stream knocked him back over, and he popped up again, and he was starting to yell and carry on and cry and making a huge fuss. I thought, we're dead. And I ran down there. He says, get out of the ditch, and he was being tumbled down the ditch, and so I jumped in and grabbed him and pulled him out, and I thought, we are so dead. And I said, let's just stand here in the sun and we'll dry off and Mom won't know. Well, he was crying left and right, throwing a fit, and as soon as I said, here, just stand still here, he started at home. Well, I thought, I can talk him out of it. I tried all the way to the house. He cried and fussed, and we went to the house. And I thought, we're so dead. And we went in the house, and he was crying and fussing and carrying on. And my mother asked those words, what happened? And so I said, well, he fell in the ditch. And I dug him out. And there was this dead silence. And she kneeled down, and she said, you did the right thing. You pulled your brother out. You didn't let him. You pulled your brother out of the ditch. And I looked at her and I thought, duh. I just got this one broke in. But I realized that I would be able to sit down. My behind was not going to get spanked from here to Friday. And so I realized something. You remember the words? Don't get wet. Black and white. But there's a rule. There's a rule that is above that rule, and that's taking care of each other. My mom realized that, and she needed me to realize that care of my brother superseded that black and white rule. So that black and white rule became gray. Over the course of my life, I've tried to find black and white rules. I like rules and things that are static. I have yet to find any that are not gray. Had an interesting conversation. I don't know how the conversation is guarded, but we were talking about how you put the toilet paper roll on the roll on the holder in a bathroom. You know, some people put it on and the roll goes down the back. And some people put it on and the roll goes down the front. And now, I'm not going to tell you where I stand on this because this is a very divisive issue. I mean, we want to talk about Democrats and Republicans. They got nothing on the great debate over which way the toilet paper comes off the roll. This is a huge, huge... And it turned into a discussion that I was just fascinated with. And as I was watching people getting more and more animated about being part of the toilet paper police, this gal came up to me, and she's a librarian, delightful woman. She had a giggle. And it doesn't matter what mood you're in. When she walked up and giggled to you, you had to giggle with her. Have you met people like that? Just a delightful, life-full woman. And she said, now, think about how you feel about which way the toilet paper comes off of the toilet paper roll. And now think about cats and cats pulling the toilet paper off and playing with it. I thought, oh no, black and white just went gray again. Isn't that something? Here that is, we've got these rules that seem straightforward. You know how the toilet paper is supposed to be. You know, and here's an exception. You shall keep the Sabbath, you and your spouse and your slave and your manservant and your maidservant. You shall keep the Sabbath. You shall do no work on the Sabbath, neither your oxen nor your ass nor your critters nor your slaves. You shall do no work on the Sabbath. It's one of the, there's 10 rules, as I recall, and it's one of those in there. You recall it somewhere? The religious leaders were rule police. Black and white, and they had seen this, and they had dictated how rules would work. You shall do no work. It's gotten stretched, and I think I've told this story before, but I understand that modern ultra-Orthodox Jews have to put timers on their light switches so that on the Sabbath the lights will turn on and off, because you're not allowed to turn the light switch on and off. You're not allowed to cook, so you have to have all your food prepared ahead of time. You're doing work. And so these rules become these tremendous impositions on how you have to live. Jesus straightened that out 2,000 years ago. He said the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. They had gotten it upside down, but the rule police had decided no work. So here they are. They're walking through the fields, the disciples and Jesus, and they're plucking grain. Ha, ha, ha. Caught them. They're breaking the rules. Have you ever been in situations like that? I remember growing up and I had two older sisters. We were learning the rules on how to table etiquette. Now, for two little boys, there's no such thing as table etiquette. But we had two sisters that became the etiquette police, and it became quite draconian. I mean, you couldn't make a move without one of them catching you. And I can remember to this day them saying, aha, I saw you do this, or aha, I saw you do that. Here are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the chief priests, and they're exacting black and white rules over the Sabbath. And Jesus says, no. No, you've got to just walk away from that. And then he said what he said here. Do you not see the speck in your neighbor's eye and not notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your neighbor, friend, take the speck out of your eye when you do not see the log in your own eye? Intriguingly, the English translation, I pushed back to the Greek. And in the Greek, there's a word for... Now, Renee read... I have to back up a little bit. She read the King James version of the first scripture. And in the King James, there's a word in Greek, adelphos. And that word gets translated man. Okay? But the Greek term refers to womb mates. You know, womb, a woman's womb. Womb mates, those that you were in the womb with. Siblings. Okay, I had two older sisters, so they're my womb mates. I had a younger brother, he's my womb mate. These are my family, my womb mates. And that's the term that's used here. Do you not see the speck in your womb mate's eye? And not see the speck in your own eye? I had to stop and think about that because, you know, I have a tendency that I'll see some of those other people out there and I'll say, see what they're doing? That's not right. They put the toilet paper on the wrong way. Or they're eating with the wrong fork or the wrong hand, or they're holding the fork wrong, or they don't have a hand in their lap. And I'll see those others and I'll be kind of critical. But he's not talking about those others out there. He's talking about our beloved ones, our brothers and sisters, our womb mates, the ones closest to us. We're judging and seeing their flaws and not recognizing our own flaws. And another step beyond that, that there are none of those others when we really stop in Christ. That's the first part of becoming that Christian that bears fruit, is we don't see them in us. And that's a big step. It's another one of those areas that's not black and white anymore. It becomes gray everywhere and in between. Fog. That was a joke. That was a foghorn. I apologize. It's trees. Trees are getting in my nose. Speaking of weeds and trees, Diana and Helen were out digging and working in the yard, carrying on Carol Danielson. They've been working in the yard doing stuff. And I need to recruit one of you. A couple of years ago, I set up planters around my backyard, and I bought hanging baskets. I got a little carried away. I think I funded half of Lowe's entire garden department. And I started adding up the numbers. I thought, I got to bought two or three houses with what I spent on hanging baskets here. Maybe not quite that much. But this year I decided I'm going to grow my own. So I bought seeds well ahead of time, and I got a little thing to grow seeds, and I put it in my calendar when to start so that they'd be starting to come up about the time I could put them out. And I completely forgot. So about a week or two ago, I finally got those started, and now they're starting to come up, but there's these little sprout over here, and then there's a sprout over here, and I don't remember there being a seed over there. And I'm thinking, one of these is a weed. So, Diana, I need you to come and figure out which one's a... See, Carol? Oh, okay. Buck just got past. Helen, you getting... Jesus was talking to him, and the disciples were talking, and he says, while you're pulling up weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. He's saying a couple things there. One is, life will tell which one's which. Let them grow, and then you'll see which one is the flower, which one is the wheat, which one is the weed. And that's a basic statement. The second basic statement is that we don't get to do the winnowing. That's a harder one to learn, and we want to do that. We're going to be in the toilet paper police or the don't get wet police or the whatever police, and we have these black and white rules, and we want to have those to hang on to give us solidity and to be able to affect some judging around us and control of the world, and that's not who we are and whose we are. There is one perfect judge. He has all the evidence. He knows all, sees all, understands, cannot be misled, cannot be swayed, cannot give false justice. And he will make the perfect judgment at the harvest. All right, my voice is shot. That's the end here. Bottom line, bearing fruit. Here's where we're supposed to be. Not supposed to be judging. We're not supposed to be doing all of that other stuff. We just want to bear fruit in Christ. So the children's moment, I should have quit there today. We had it. Next 2 weeks, you've got Mark. Take good care of him. We're going to go out and explore other churches. But we will be gathered with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And we'll all be working to bear fruit in the name of the Lord. Amen.